Today, on Rainbow Country, fashion designer James Serino. Stay tuned for Gay Talk Radio Toronto Style right here on Rainbow Country.
Hi, I'm Garrett Conley, author of Boy Erased, a memoir. You're listening to Rainbow Country with Mark Tara on CIUT 89.5 FM.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Rainbow Country. As I like to call it, a little gay radio show working to give voice to the LGBT community. And as always, I am your tour guide through Rainbow Country, I'm Mark Tara. So, for all things country, Rainbow Country, make sure you check out my website, marktara.com, because everything is hooked up there. Contacts, social media, including the full 2-hour episodes of Rainbow Country under the archives banner. You'll find everything at marktara.com. I was about to give out the email, but that's pretty basic. mark@marktara.com. So my friends, this is episode 164. Today, I'm spotlighting fashion designer James Serino. We'll find out about what inspires his designs, who got him into fashion in the first place, and so much more. So my friends, this journey through Rainbow Country begins right now.
Hi, this is Carol Pope on CIUT 89.5 FM.
He is a fashion designer who creates unique fashions for unique individuals. Plus, he's here with me in studio. He is James Serino. Hi.
Hello, everyone. How are you?
Well, I'm not everyone.
Well, not everyone. Hello, Mark. We've already had our welcome, so I thought I was talking to everyone.
And you are, my friend. You are. First of all, I always say this, and let me say this to you personally. Thank you for taking your time to be here with me in person. It means a lot, so thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, I want to start here because I think it's appropriate. You are a fashion designer. You create fashion. You create things that people might put, bags, that sort of thing as well. Who are you wearing?
Myself, from head to toe. So, of course, I'm wearing Serino custom pants, shirt, tank top, bag, and wallet today.
Really?
Yes.
I love the bag.
Thank you so much.
The bag. But I didn't know that you created those things as well.
Yes. I've been doing this ever since I was like 5 years old. My grandmother taught me had a hand stitch with like needlepoint and cross stitching. And I make all my own patterns, so it's just like one level up. So one level to the next level.
That's great. That's fantastic. But I had no idea you did all that.
Well, there was a time 5 years ago where I only had a few pieces in my closet that were mine. Mm. But now I only have a closet full of only my garments.
Okay.
And it was a stage because I couldn't get my clothing line to the mass market. And I was going through the stage as a designer where I wanted to continue working. But I couldn't get the brand big enough. So then I decided I'm going to make my own clothes. And that way I can get more custom clients by being my own muse, by mm-hmm. being my own model. Mm-hmm. And that has really worked out well for me.
Amazing. Does it give you some sense of satisfaction, some sense of, I own this? Like, literally, I own this because I made it?
It just feels like a comforting thing for me now. And it just feels like another level of me. And mm-hmm. it just feels like there's no fraudness in it. Mm-hmm. Everything is me. I've picked out the fabric. I made the pattern. I cut it out and I've sewn it.
How would you describe your fashion sense?
My fashion sense,
Are you more classic? Are you more avant-garde? Are you more funky? You know what I'm getting at?
I would say it's the new funk classic. So it's always going to have a classic style. So mm-hmm. it's always going to be timeless, but it's always going to have a funk on top of it. So there's always going to be some type of wow factor, but mm-hmm. yet there's the classic element. So whoever's wearing it or going into it, again, it will be timeless. So mm-hmm. there'll be something that you can reminisce from, but then there's definitely different levels that will take a person out of their comfort bubble, but not too far that they don't feel like themselves.
When you're designing something, are there types of fabric that you tend to gravitate towards, that you tend to go to time and time again? Maybe like cottons or leathers or silks?
Well, if I'm doing women, I always gravitate towards chiffon just because I love the way it moves. I love the way it flows, mm-hmm. especially when you cut it in ruffles or you cut it on the bias. Like,
I think I'm wearing chiffon.
I caught that right away.
You're like, when we first met, you're like, Mark, I love your drapery. Right. I'm like, bitch, I'm not wearing drapery. I'm wearing chiffon.
She's wearing layers of chiffon. There's like four different chiffon tops and they're all equally leveled out at the bottom. It's fabulous.
I think so.
Yeah,
I'm
feeling it. I'm feeling it.
Would you say that you have a specific type of customer? Someone that would approach you to design something for them?
It's strange that you say that because I'm a wide range person, mm-hmm. like even in my music taste and with the type of people that I hold around myself, it's very wide range. So I feel like my client base is basically reflecting of that. Mm. So right now I find like my main influence is like I work with a lot of people who are doing music behind the scene, or mm. a lot of like music DJs or people in the club scene that way. But then I find myself like it'll be older ladies that I'm dealing with lately at the same time. Mm. So like it's really it's all around.
Yeah. A lot of performers, a lot of performances.
Yeah.
But also to ladies that like to lunch.
Ladies that like to lunch. That's it. And I love those ladies.
And I'm sure they love you.
Yeah, we get along very well. Yeah, we get along well.
You're originally from Cape Breton.
Yes.
You graduated from Montreal's Academy of Design and Technology. You've lived in Vancouver.
Yeah.
You live in Toronto. Talk to me about your time in Paris, France. I understand you went there originally, but more recently you've been there. Talk to me about your time in Paris.
Well, the one more recently?
Both.
Okay.
First of all, what led you to Paris in the first place?
Okay. So what led me to Paris in the first place is I had a connection in Vancouver, which mm-hmm. led me to a connection in Paris to do a fashion show in Paris, which was 4 months after I did my own fashion line. It was the first launch. I did a men's underwear line, but I threw in some tank tops and sweaters as well, just to show people that I could do more than underwear. I started it off in Vancouver, and then 4 months later, I got to showcase it in Paris, France. So it was called the Gala International, and I was the only designer from Canada, so I was hailing the Canadian fashion in Paris. More recently, I went on my own Eat, Pray, Love tour in Europe, because I wasn't getting the love here. So like I felt like I needed to see outside of the box. Mm-hmm. So I made myself a whole new brand new summer wardrobe, packed it myself, and then took my clothes to Paris. And then it was amazing because I was going into the Paris boutiques, and the people that were working there were freaking out over my clothes that I was wearing more than they were freaking out of the clothes they were selling. So it was nice for me as a designer to be able to see that and mm-hmm. be able to see. So that way I know that, like, I knew it all along. But then again, to step outside of the comfort box and see other people's reflections and talking to other people in the fashion industry, because I met a few other designers there as well. And it was funny to me because a few of them, the only thing they said to me, they said, I can just tell you have it. You can tell by looking at your clothes, mm-hmm. the clothes that you're wearing right now. They're like, all you need is an investor. You don't need a job. You need an investor. You mm-hmm. need to start your brand, not actually work for a brand. So it was like,
It was affirming.
Yeah. But the best part about that, actually, is right after Paris, I went to Amsterdam. Mm-hmm. And I went to the Prince exhibit, which was amazing. And you couldn't take any pictures and you had to have a headset on.
Prince, as in the musician?
As in the musician. Okay. And it was an exhibit in Amsterdam.
Okay.
And you had to press, like, this controller and the numbers mm-hmm. are on the wall and different visions. And the stuff that Prince said there. And, like, for me as a designer on my solo journey to travel and hear that was amazing. And then, not for nothing, but there was a tuxedo made and it was purple and black velvet damask print, and it was very similar, reminiscent to the purple tank top that I'm wearing today underneath this shirt. Mm. So, but the difference is too is that, like, Prince never made his clothes, so hello, but mine was top stitched like crazy, so I preferred the way mine was made over the way that that suit was
oh,
made.
Oh, really?
Yes. So again, another affirmation for mm-hmm. me, and to have it at the Prince exhibit, and Prince started everything himself, and like. And the fact that I make everything myself the way that Prince made his albums all himself.
Yeah.
He played every instrument.
Do you know, he didn't necessarily physically make the designs, the clothing, but do you know, was he involved in the designs? Oh,
I would say he probably had a part in it for sure, because mm-hmm. Prince was that particular. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you really got that, like, that feeling, and like, it was amazing. That exhibit was incredible.
So I'm fascinated by the fact that you're a fashion designer and you literally make everything, but you also make bags, you make wallets. How did you always do that?
Well, did I always do it? Like, I've always been sewing ever since I was five.
Yeah, so, but like, did you always make, like, the bags and the wallets and the underwear? Because you don't necessarily think of a designer as doing that. You think of them as making clothing.
Right.
Usually.
Well, that's the difference too. Like, cause I find there's a big difference between a clothing designer mm-hmm. and a fashion designer.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Clothing is more essential. Anyone can wear clothing mm. and clothing represents clothing.
Of course.
But when it's fashion, it's fashion. It should inspire you even though you're seeing someone else be wearing it, mm-hmm. you know? So, and I also feel like in order to heighten my look and to take myself to the next level, it doesn't make sense for me to be walking around in my own clothes and then carrying a Gucci bag.
Mm-hmm.
I might as well carry my own.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. When you're doing a runway show, those tend to be more heightened, for lack of better words, the clothing, the fashions that they wear, the models. Do you do those as well? Like, when you're having a runway show, do you go over and above to make it more, say, theatrical, as opposed to something that everyday people would wear on the street?
Well, it's funny because my last few shows were more like, it was more wearable.
Okay.
But now I find
Right off the get-go.
And I made them that way. So they were easy wearable, but they had couture details. Mm-hmm. So that way it would give you the feeling of couture, but it was more ready to wear.
Okay.
But right now I find like going more theatrical and more like avant-garde with it is more like my, the collection that I'm doing of women's line right now. So I'm doing, the elements. So I've already done earth and I've done air. Right now I'm currently working on fire.
Okay.
And then I'm going to do water, but I'm doing the fifth elements. I'm doing five elements because everyone always talks about four elements because mm-hmm. they forget about the fifth one. The fifth one, of course, is heart.
Okay.
And no one talks about the fifth element being heart, because if they did, they would have to admit that it's real. And then with the heart comes empathy and love. So with those, I'm going more theatrical. Like, it's more elongated trains, feathers.
That sort of
more fairy tale-like.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. On that note, James Serino, let's take a break and we'll be right back.
Bill 7. To ban discrimination in employment, government services, and housing based on a person's sexual orientation was up for a vote at Queen's Park. Most NDP and Liberal MPPs supported the bill, but without some progressive conservative legislators backing, a divisive split could rack the province. Four PCs decided to break party ranks to vote with their conscience and support Bill 7. Cabinet Minister and MPP Dennis Timbrell did it to show solidarity for his beloved brother, the well-known drag queen, Rusty Ryan. And for me, a gay politician who was not yet out, I had to take a stand. We were known as the Gang of Four. I'm former Cabinet Minister and MPP Phil Gillies. The date, December 2nd, 1986, when LGBT rights came to Ontario.
So Steve Degay, producer and host of Toronto Song Project, you have a question for me?
Yes. Okay. I have a ton of friends who are always creating, always looking for places to talk about their work. How would they pitch an idea to you?
Well, thanks for asking. This is so...
completely out of the blue.
Completely out of the blue. Thank you. They can contact me on social media at Mark Tara Music on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, even on LinkedIn. Or you can send me an email, mark@marktara.com. Steve Degay, producer and host of Toronto Song Project. It's just that simple.
Damn, you are accessible.
I am, but I'm not cheap.
Hey everyone, this is Chris Harder, porn star, burlesque performer, and the creator of Porn to Be a Star. You're listening to Rainbow Country with Mark Tara at CIUT 89.5 FM.
So, James Serino, you are a fashion designer. You create menswear, womenswear. You were head designer for Historia, Quebec-based fashion brand. You also created fabrics and graphic design for a decor company called Lawrence Home Fashion. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that probably all of this wouldn't have been possible if someone hadn't inspired you. You were talking about this person earlier, your grandmother. Talk to me about your grandmother's influence on you, starting at the tender age of, what, 5 years old?
Yeah.
How did that, talk to me about that.
So my grandmother had these bags and bags of patterns that, like, of course, at like five, I didn't realize they were so, but it's very reminiscent of me and my bag of patterns now. But it's like all these patterns that you would iron on, and they would be all these different pictures. Like you would have cats, dogs, and different things that you'd be able to iron on, and then you'd be able to stitch that pattern. And she would make quilts, and she would just be, she was constantly sewing and working on things. And my grandmother was my best friend, of course, growing up as well. So whenever we were together, we were always watching movies and sewing.
You'd be watching movies and sewing?
Yeah, old
time. At the same time?
Old time movies. And we'd be sitting there talking, and she'd be telling me about the movie stars, and she'd be telling me the stories.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Is your grandmother still alive?
No. Fortunately, no.
And do you think of those times when you're literally creating your bags and your wallets and your fashion?
Her photo is right next to my sewing machine right now in my home studio, so she's still watching over me, and so we're still sewing together.
What did you think of your fashion sense and your designs?
Well, it's funny. She never... it didn't happen until... like, she was... yeah, she didn't get to see any of it come to life, but I can just tell, like...
she'd like it. Yeah, she would have grandma approved.
Yeah, definitely, 100%.
Oh, that's amazing. What was her name?
Sissy. Her real name was Frances, but all her friends called her Sissy. So Sissy McIntosh from Sydney Mines, Nova Scotia.
Amazing.
Yeah. And that's my grandmother, and I'm her grandson.
Yeah. And she's looking down at you.
We're here.
Inspiring you, kicking you to do the bags and do the wallets and
keep going.
Keeping going.
Yeah, keep going.
You're originally from Cape Breton.
Yeah.
What made you decide to move there and study in Montreal?
I always loved Montreal, and it's so funny too, because I grew up with two brothers, one older and one younger, and of course growing up with three boys, so my mother would always, you know, when you need baseball hats or we needed like t-shirts, so then it would be like hockey teams and stuff like that. And I remember my brothers always picking hockey teams because they actually liked the hockey team. Myself, I liked Montreal team because I liked the logo. I liked the way the symbol was designed, so I thought they had the best design. Mm. And I always had this connection with Montreal, and the love and appreciation for the arts and fashion there, it's off the train. Mm-hmm.
Did you consider maybe going to the States or going to Europe or anything like that?
At the time, I wish I had of, but like I took the choice that I had at the moment. Mm-hmm.
There's a new facility called Launchpad.
Yes.
Here in Toronto. You're a member of Launchpad.
I am.
Talk to me about Launchpad and yourself and what you find you get out of that relationship.
Well, it's funny how Launchpad actually came to me and how I feel like Launchpad is exactly what I need right now, and just in order to connect with other artists, connect with other people on the same level, going through the same things. It was funny because I got this email in my email, and it was 2 days before this bursary closed, saying that you should apply for this bursary. So I applied for this bursary, and it turns out that I got it. So it's amazing to be around people like Helen and Teresa that are the technicians inside the workroom in the art studio. And it's just nice to meet other designers who are going through the same struggle and other artists. Like, it's a beautiful collection of
creatives.
Yeah.
Because Launchpad, they have a recording studio, they have a photography studio, they have a green room where you can film things and green screens and all that sort of stuff. And
digital fabrication where you can do 3D yeah. printing. They got the sewing. We got the weaving machines. Mm-hmm. And they have a dye kitchen, screen printing room.
Yeah.
yeah.
And it's crazy. So, again, I've covered it twice already. I can't recommend this place more.
I can't neither, because I've been going for 10 years without it. Mm-hmm. So to have these tools that you're able to have access to
at your disposal,
at the disposal, yeah. at such a discount fee, like, you, it's priceless.
Yeah. I think memberships start at $50 a month, and then they go up to like $100 and something a month.
Yeah.
And you get access to all this equipment.
Right. And there are training courses for other things if you want to get involved in it.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing. And you can go to Launchpad and you can book yourself a tour. It's free.
Yep.
Check it out. It's at what? Jarvis and Lakeshore, maybe?
Oh, God.
It's by Sugar Beach.
Yeah. It's right in front of Sugar Beach. Yeah. You can't miss it.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. I love it.
Talk to me about the Toronto fashion scene, and what's your opinion on the Toronto fashion scene, like Toronto Fashion Week? There was something, and now it's like not happening, or it's three different things, or what's your take?
My take is I wish the fashion shows were actually about supporting the fashion designers and getting the designers the growth and development that they need mm-hmm. and having the buyers actually at the show. So that way the designers can benefit from the show. There are a lot of designers who benefit from that show. If you are a show pony designer, a lot of show pony designers show up where they only want to do a fashion show once a year. So they're happy with doing the fashion show for once a year. They don't really care that the buyers aren't there, that like they're just going to be glorified once for the year. They're happy with that. But there's a lot of us that actually spend a lot of hard work working and making our garments, making it perfect and doing a lot of hard work. So we would love to have it, like, maybe there's a bursary, there's a grant, there's an incentive other than glorifying yourself. Mm-hmm. Because, like, I don't need to be glorified. You can do that on Instagram. I could post pictures all day if I wanted to. But right in Canada, I find that it's only the event coordinator who actually benefits from the fashion shows here, because they get to charge all the designers cash. They get to make all the profit off every seat that's sold. And all the models walk for free. And everyone who works at the bar volunteers.
The models work for free?
Yeah, walk for free.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. But that event coordinator, she pockets a lot of money.
Whoever they might be.
Right. I could name a few, but we got to keep it. We got to keep it PG friendly.
So besides your grandmother being a major influence on you, who influences you today or what? Where do you garner inspiration from to create new fashion, new designs?
Where do I garner inspiration from? A lot of my daily life. And I live in my own little bubble. You know what I mean? And I do inspire myself, and I am my own muse.
Okay.
And my life is not,
you know, it's interesting you say that, because I just saw an interview with Madonna saying that basically she is her own muse now. She has grown into that
seeing, you know, everything that she's accomplished over the last, you know, 30-something years. And she literally said that she's become her own muse.
Well, it's so funny that you would mention her, because I was, of course, going to mention the queen. As you can take a look here, that's my Madonna Truth or Dare tattoo. So, of course, I am mainly inspired. One of my biggest inspirations is Madonna, actually, her fashion sense and the change and ever always changing. Mm-hmm. And I find with every album, not just the singles that you hear on the radio station, I mean with every album, I've learned so much about myself. It's crazy. And it seems like the albums link up with my own life. Like, it's weird. And I also, Coco Chanel is one of my favorite fashion icons, because her struggle and it's a similar path. Her struggle is, it's real. Do you know what I mean? Like, she was just a girl who started out sewing and making hats at first, but then she got that one connection with a close friend who is actually the socialite. Mm-hmm. So Chanel knew that she didn't want to be around too much, and she wasn't the right person. So she would dress her socialite friend. And that's how that started that.
Wow. Wow. Coco Chanel, Madonna, and yourself.
Yes.
The trifecta.
Done.
James Sereno, on that note, let's take a break.
Let's take a break.
We'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Joanne Vanicola, and I'm an actor and a writer, and I was first on Rainbow Country with Mark Tara on CIUT 895 FM, discussing the massacre at Pulse Club in Orlando. I realized how important it was for our community to have a radio station, specifically for our issues, to talk about people in the LGBTQ community and to provide an outlet for our stories, to discuss our politics, culture, and give voice to the issues that matter to us. And, of course, our artists and the things that we do globally and right here in Toronto, and talk about culture. And without people like Mark Tara providing a space for this with a radio show like this, then we wouldn't have that voice. So, support. Tune in. Thank you.
So, Steve Degay, you have an interesting look on your face, like you want to ask me a question. What would it be?
Yeah, well, if I'm not around Tuesday at 11 to listen to the show, how do I hear it?
The best way for people to, you know, listen to Rainbow Country after the fact is through the podcast, which is available on iTunes, Podomatic.com, Google Play Music, Stitcher Radio, and on Spotify. So people can subscribe. It's for free, and they'll never be without an episode of Rainbow Country. Steve Degay, it's just that simple.
Amazing. So I just search Rainbow Country and there I am.
Yes.
Amazing.
I'm Sander Urien.
And I'm Danny Bensi.
And you're listening to Rainbow Country with Mark Tara on CIUT
89.5 FM.
So, James Sereno, you are a member of the LGBT community. You are an openly... Do you consider yourself a gay man? How do you see yourself?
A unicorn.
Okay.
Because if we can have 174 different genders... I may be wrong. The count could have been off by now. I have to double check. But if we can have that many, then I would like to be classified as the gay unicorn. Okay.
You know, I've been called a unicorn before, and I'm like, say what now?
Right.
But I think that just means, like, you stand out.
I do.
Yeah, in a crowd, rather than, like, an animal.
Exactly.
So you consider yourself a unique, stand-out-y kind of gay person.
Yeah. I'm here. I'm queer. I'm right in your face. I'm hi. I used to be that bullied kid who, in a small town, Cape Breton Island.
Mm-hmm. So you were bullied as a little kid?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. But, like, because I grew up around a bunch of rednecks and, like, hockey players. So, like, I did stand out there against the other boys, and I was the pretty boy who wanted to dance. So, yeah.
So I'm interested to know, like, you were just saying around hockey players, rednecks, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Did you come across people that sort of like would give you the eye kind of thing?
Oh, yes. And I don't mean to say hicks in a bad way for anyone. all my family and friends from Cape Breton are going to be like, ah.
I love me a redneck and I love me a hockey player.
See, it's perfect for you. It's perfect for you. And the times are changing, so it's a little different down there. You'll blend in. Not really, but still.
But did you find that? Did you find like, yeah, you stood out maybe not in the best of ways when you were growing up, but when you were growing up, did you find that people would look at you and, for lack of better words, in a sexual way when you were growing up by like those hockey players or those rednecks, that sort of thing? Did you find that?
I think some of the ones that bullied me the most actually were sexually attracted to me now that I think back to it. Because there was one in particular where, like, he always wanted my attention. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, constantly. So I think maybe.
And maybe didn't know how to get your attention other than violently.
Yeah, maybe.
Interesting. Did you ever come out to your family?
Oh, my God. I picked the worst time to come out to my family. So I moved away from Cape Breton Island for a little bit, and I went home, and it was Christmas Eve, actually. Bad timing, anyone. Don't do it on Christmas Eve. So my mother was all happy and excited because my brother was engaged for the last 2 months, and she's all happy, and and I'm only home for like 2 weeks, and then I'm going back. And she's talking to me. She's like, James, I'm so excited. I'm so happy for your brother. She's like, when are you going to find love? When are you going to be with someone and be happy? Mm-hmm. And at this time, I was with my first boyfriend ever. And I was head over heels in love, right? But the way that she said it to me, it was so sincere. So then it just like came out so sincerely. And I was like, well, you know what, Mom? I am in love. I am happy, actually. And she's like, okay, well, who is she? Who is she? When am I going to meet her? And I was like, well, that's the thing, Mom. She's not a she. She's a he.
Wow.
Boom. She starts crying right away. Okay. Like, and it was just like awkward moment all Christmas Eve. Mm-hmm. Christmas Day was just kind of left off. But on Boxing Day, my mother said, come here, James, come here. And my mother has 11 brothers and sisters.
Wow.
And she picked up that telephone in front of me and she called every one of her brothers and sisters and told every one of them that I was gay. Mm-hmm. And that if they can't accept it, then they can't accept her. So you got to draw the line right now. But this is my son. He's gay. And if you can't accept him, you can't accept me.
That's incredible.
Yeah. My mother's an amazing woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
On Christmas Day?
No, on Boxing Day.
On Boxing Day. Wow.
Worst time. Christmas Eve was so awkward. And the other thing is, too, me and my mother are best friends as well. And, like, it's normal for me to be her little shadow when we're around. Mm. So, like, on Christmas Eve, we're going family visiting. And, like, there's an awkwardness between me and my mother. And you could just see the distance.
Mm.
Yeah, it's not the best time.
So, if you're out in a room, a crowded room, crowded bar, whatever, and someone gets your attention physically...
Okay.
What are you drawn to physically?
Oh, God. Like my type? Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Well, it's strange. I'm either going to go for the tallest one in the room or probably the shortest and stockiest one.
Okay.
Right? So, and I tend to go for ethnic. So something unlike me. So something totally opposite.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. So either really tall or really short.
Yeah, and stocky.
Stocky.
Yeah, so he's still got the build.
Athletic-y.
Yeah.
Are you attracted to any particular body part in particular? Like, are you a leg?
The dick?
Well, you don't necessarily see that when you first meet someone.
No, the eyes. The eyes are a big thing for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Eyes are a big thing for me.
Especially when they're looking down at your dick.
Yeah.
But we digress, people. Yes. We digress. Are you in a relationship right now?
No.
Not yet.
No, I'm putting this thing in single, like Lizzo.
Okay. Who do you, besides Madonna, because a fair amount of the LGBT community like Madonna. I think that's typical.
Yeah.
Who else do you like?
George Michael.
Okay.
But who else do you think, are you asking like Prince?
No, like any other musical artists that you're drawn to?
Oh God, I'm loving Lizzo right now.
Okay.
I'm loving Lizzo right now. I love Alanis Morissette ever since I was 13.
Okay. Well, which Alanis? Dance Alanis or?
No, I'm Jagged Little Pill.
Okay.
I'm Jagged Little Pill.
Mm-hmm.
Who else do I like? My music range is all over the track.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So what?
My house music is my big, big thing.
Okay.
And I love to dance.
Okay.
I'm a dancer.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you also are a fan of Queer as Folk.
Yes, of course.
And you used to, at one point, you worked at Fly?
I did. I was a bartender at Fly before it was 2.0.
And so what was, because you mentioned this to me before we started our interview, and was that like a bit of an out-of-body experience when you got that job at
Yeah, because
Fly, like, or Babylon in Queer as Folk, because you were actually there now.
Well, that's the thing to me. In my head, it's always been Babylon. It will always be Babylon. Because a little boy, like watching that show in small town Cape Breton Island, where it wasn't okay to talk about gay or be gay or act gay, and then to see this show and see these boys living this flamboyant life and like loving themselves, like. And then, of course, Brian, like the sex appeal and everything with Brian. It's funny because I kind of turned out a little bit like Brian. None of the ego or the hatred that he has, but the rest of the part, yeah, a little bit like Brian, yeah.
So when you were watching that show, you were living at home in Cape Breton Island.
Yes.
Interesting. And then you moved to Toronto and you end up working
there in the bar that was on the TV show.
That would be a bit of a trip.
Yeah. So it's like a complete little three circle. I also met one of my icons there at Fly Nightclub. I got to meet Mel B from the Spice Girls.
Oh, nice.
So that was incredible.
Mm-hmm. Was she nice?
She was incredible and so beautiful. And I was actually the first person to get to meet her out of everyone because I was booked to bartend there that night already. Mm-hmm. But they just got the notice on like Wednesday, and this is like a Saturday or Friday night. Mm-hmm. And then I had to tell my boss, I was like, I'm leaving this bar when the Spice Girl gets here.
Mm.
And he's like, James, we need you to work. It's going to be full. It's going to be full. And I was like, I'm leaving this bar when the Spice Girl gets here. Right. And I was like, so your best bet would be to get me to meet her first, and then I'll get back to my bar.
Okay.
Right. So that what they did is I felt like Whitney Houston on The Bodyguard, dead serious. So they had four security guards come down as soon as she got there to take me from my bar. So I had two security in front of me with the flashlight and two behind me. So, of course, I felt like Whitney Houston, queen of the night. And Whitney's big influence, too, by the way. So then I got to meet Mel B, and I got to put my hand on her heart. Mm-hmm. And I got to look her in the eye, and mm-hmm. I said to her, and I said, you know, whether the people of the world hated on you guys or they love you, what you and those four girls did and how you what you guys did for the world and how you changed it, words can't describe.
Mm.
Right? And then she looked at me, and then she put her hand on my heart, and then she said, what a beautiful thing to say, and gave me a kiss.
Oh.
Yeah, it was gorgeous.
And now they're back on tour.
And now they're back on tour doing fabulous.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. So let's bring this full circle. You're a fashion designer. You make clothing. You make accessories literally by hand. What's the most challenging aspect of what you do?
I think right now, just getting the right promotion and getting the right feedback, and to try to get the right now, I don't really have any investors or anything like that. So I'm trying to grow it. I'm trying to actually work into that circle right now, and that's my next endeavor. So the next obstacle that I'm going towards right now.
Yeah. And what's the most fulfilling aspect of what it is that you do?
The fact that dead serious, and this is still mind-blowing to me and surprising me, and even to the today when I finish this, it's mind-blowing to me, because like when I envision something, it's in my envision. So it's my imagination that I'm using and I'm creating this, and I can flip pattern pieces and colors and everything in my head. But the fact that I can envision it and then actually make it reality is still mind-blowing.
Powerful.
Yeah.
So, James, how can people find out more about you, your fashions, all that sort of stuff on socials, all that sort of thing?
Perfect. Well, you can check my website. It's jamesserino.com. You can find me on the Instagram. I'm more on my personal Instagram right now, but we are getting back to the business. So you can find me at James Serino, or you can follow my business Instagram at Serino Custom. Serino_custom. Because right now, I used to just have it as a brand. But right now, because I am going to start working on my own wedding dresses and stuff to come out in September. So right now, I'm just focusing on doing custom work. So that's why it's Serino, S-E-R-I-N-O, _custom on Instagram.
Well said. Well said.
Thank you.
James Serino, thanks for being on the show. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you. Bye, guys.
Hey there, it's David Dixon, Canadian fashion designer, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
Was my spotlight on fashion designer James Serino. Look out for his name. Coming up next, hour two of Rainbow Country, where I tend to feature music from independent recording artists with a special focus on LGBT recording artists. We'll be right back.
got the baddest bitch you like.
Shoulders, knees, toes. we pose. Beat, mug, limp, wrist, VIP list. Wave, wave, blow a kiss. I'm that bitch, sis. Left, right, left, right, left for the same bitch. Where's my sash and crown? Cause I win, bitch. I'm so fab, I'm gone with the wind, bitch. Y'all 6, 7, 8, 9, I'm a 10, bitch. Girl, what did that girl just say, girl? Ooh. Girl, I don't dance, I work. I don't play, I slay. I don't walk, I strut, 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 and then sashay. Okay. But I don't work for free. No, that's not the key, hunty. No, so make it rain on me, and I might let you see. What you gonna let them see? My nails, hair, hips, heels. Nails, hair, hips, heels. Nails, hair, hips, heels. Nails, hair, hips, heels.
My nails, hair, hips, heels. Nails, hair, hips, heels. Nails, hair, hips, heels. Nails, hair, hips, heels.
Okay, dolls, y'all know what time it is. Come on, everybody on the floor. Everybody on the floor. Now I want you to stretch out those arms, stretch out those legs, stretch out that wrist, stretch out that weave. I don't want to see you dance. I want to see you work. Come on, drop for me, drop for me, drop, drop for me, drop for me, drop, drop for me, drop for me, drop, drop for me, drop for me, drop. Tongue pop for me, pop for me, pop tongue pop for me, pop for me, pop tongue pop for me, pop for me, pop tongue pop for me, pop for me, pop. Pose for me, pose for me, pose, pose for me, pose for me, pose. Blink for these hoes, blink for these, blink for these hoes, blink for these, blink for these hoes, blink for these, blink for these hoes. Twirl for me, twirl for me, twirl, twirl for me, twirl for me, twirl, twirl for me, twirl for me, twirl, twirl for me, twirl for me, twirl. Say girl for me, girl for me, say girl for me, girl for me, say girl for me, girl for me, say girl for me, girl for me. Now snap for me, snap for me, snap, snap for me, snap for me, snap, snap for me. Shake for me, shake for me, shake, shake for me, shake for me, shake. Now fan for me, fan for me, fan, fan for me, fan for me, fan, fan for me, fan for me, fan, fan for me, fan for me, fan. Shablam for me, shablam for me, shablam, 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 shablam for me, 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 shablam for me.
Song set featured remixes by Barry Harris, Canada's, Toronto's very own Barry Harris. We just heard Nails, Hair, Hips, Heels, Todrick Hall. Before that, Lizzo, Juice. And starting off that three song Barry Harris remix set, Higher Love, Whitney Houston. And Kygo, I think it's Kygo, at least it's K-Y. And that song was originally recorded in the 1990s, was supposed to be on one of her records, but it didn't make it on, and I guess they decided to revamp it, remix it, and put it out. The great Whitney Houston. To find out more about Barry Harris, check him out on Facebook, DJ Barry Harris. Up next, Toronto indie artist, Tessa. Stay with me.
Hey, this is Paul Bellini, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 on your FM dial.
Dreams, now I'm neglected.
And that honesty, but you know if you want it.
Welcome back. That three-song set is from Toronto's very own Tessa, off of her current record, Fool Love. We just heard the title track, Fool Love. Before that, we heard Honesty. And starting off that three song, Tessa, Set, Come Up for the Weekend. To find out more about Tessa, what she's up to, supporting her, all that sort of good stuff, tessa-music.com. Up next, a three-song Latin set.
Hi guys, this is Mika Barnes. Very happy to be with you on CIUT 89.5 FM.
Que ya llegó el capitán Thiago with the one and only.
Another one, get up, get up. the one, get the,
yeah,
the,
yeah.
Hey, yo, Tiago,
woo,
yeah,
woo.
Let's go.
Come a little closer, just a little closer. I can whisper to you, see right through you. Stop, stop before you say goodnight. I can see you need me, put your arms around me. Touch me, feel me, say you'll never leave me. No, this night is still alive.
Okay. Yeah, you caught my attention like you threw something at me. Don't know what it is, but you do something to me. Green eyes staring, got me lit, you're fine. Don't let the night waste, girl, don't be shy. You got the whole spot when they who you are. You can have any pick, but it's mean by far. No reason to bring your trust issue to the flow. Just put your arms around me and now you know that
I own. Don't faze me when I am around you. Stop, stop. Take in your smile. Your smile. Can't you see that I want you as bad as you need me? Touch you, feel you, say you'll never leave me. Oh, dance with me tonight.
She gon' whisper in my ear, say I'm yours tonight. She gon' came with her girls, but she's here tonight. She the party of the night, the highlight of the night. She make me wanna stop, hit pause and rewind. Couldn't help but watch you on the lawn. Yeah, I know you got your own thing going on. Where you working it, I can tell you're bad. Don't know if you got a man, but I wanna let you know that
I own.
You took me by my hand and
showed me my mistakes. Through you I've learned happiness, existence, sorrow. Just close your eyes and pray for a better tomorrow. You always had a dream to carry on. Even through the years you stood so strong. You feel so far away. All those damn predictions, they were wrong. Scientists and doctors don't know it all. Sweet girl, it's your time to fly away.
Set was from Thiago. We just heard Fly Away, and by the way, he has a brand new music video that's out now on YouTube that you can see for Fly Away. We just heard that track. Before that, we heard Till the Day I Die, and starting off that three-song Thiago set, El Momento with Tatiana DeVos. For more on Thiago, check him out on Facebook, Thiago Music Online. Up next, a three-song set from the team behind arguably the longest-running recording studio in the world, and that would be Kensington Sound. That three-song set up next.
This is City Councilor Kristen Wong Tam, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
them, tore them down, set ablaze. And since that day, I've never been the same. And now I'm free falling, lost my mind over you, girl. With no end in sight. Gravity pulling me down, pulling me down. Your energy is coming down, coming down. And I can't stand this empty space. It's vindication.
Gravity pulling me down. She lost her love and ran out the door. In Canada, they changed their husbands and left their clothes. But nothing, no, nothing breaks up a Muslim.
Three songs set featured Ben Palsha. We heard Gravity and Ocean Deep from Ben Palsha, as well as Vasey with Brown Eyed Man. And the two of them are the team behind Kensington Sound, arguably one of the longest running recording studios in the world that's located here in Toronto in Kensington Market. I think started in 1974, in and around there. For more information on Kensington Sound and Ben Palsha and Fazy, kensington-sound.com. Don't forget, get social, get interactive on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at Mark Tara Music. The podcast for Rainbow Country is on iTunes, Podomatic.com, Google Play Music, Stitcher Radio, and on Spotify. So get Rainbow Country wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And of course, everything is hooked up at my website, marktara.com. Finally, I want to take this time to thank you for taking your time to be with me. Remember, we live in days of making dreams come true. So believe in yourself, and the world will believe in you.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Segato, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.